Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Erica Wides, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good evening and welcome to
Foment About It
on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Mary Izette, and Foment About It is a weekly journey through all things fermented. Well, I'm not joined by Chris Kuzmi tonight because he's setting up a wonderful benefit for Just Food at the Brooklyn Brewery that's taking place tonight that will match chicken farmers and beer brewers so that we can reuse some of our spent grain to be delicious chicken grain. So he's there, and I am joined by a very special co-host, Harley Levine.
Hi, Mary.
Levine. I am constantly mispronouncing stuff, as those of you who have listened before know. Okay, so a couple of announcements. First of all, as you know, this is one of many shows, over 30 different shows, that are broadcast weekly on Heritage Radio Network. There's a ton of absolutely fascinating, educational, interesting, humorous shows all about food, beverage, and all kinds of other topics that are on Heritage Radio Network every week. Heritage Radio Network is a not-for-profit, and we are supported in part by people like you. So if you have not yet joined or renewed your membership, now is the time. They have actually a very special thing going on this summer. They have a partner that has generously agreed to match donations from now through Sunday, July 20th. So Heritage Radio Network is trying to add 50 new members during this time. They're going to have a full week of special bonuses for all members joining between now and Sunday. So stay tuned on social media as well as email. And if you want to join, go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate. All right, local announcements. We have a great local homebrewing event coming up called the New York Pro-Am Brew PIT, Philosophy, Inspiration, and Technique. And it's a celebration of the local beer brewing community, both homebrewer and commercial breweries. So the guys at Bitter and Esters are helping put this on, and they've actually matched five local craft brewers, including Finback, Flagship, Single Cut, Six Point, and Yonkers, with five homebrewers. So tickets are $25, and that gets you a taste of every beer, every commercial beer, and the homebrew that goes alongside it. There's two sessions on August 9th, one from 1 to 3 and one from 3:30 to 5:30. So if you want more information, please go to bitterandesters.com for the New York Pro-Am Brew PIT Beer Festival. It's a homebrew and a commercial beer event. Oh, and you know what? It's taking place in Covenhoven. That's the key piece of information, which is a great craft beer bar in Brooklyn. All right. So tonight I'm excited to introduce our very special guest. So Ken Getty is calling us from Chicago. Ken, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing very well.
Awesome. I'm so happy to have you on. So I first met Ken at the National Homebrewers Conference, which we've mentioned a gazillion times on the show. That was in Grand Rapids, Michigan last month, put on by the American Homebrewers Association. And we had a fantastic club night where lots of different clubs poured amazing beers, and CHAOS, which stands for Chicago Homebrew Alchemists of Sud, was one of the clubs participating. So you guys, first of all, you poured a lot of great beers, but then we struck up a conversation, and it's absolutely fascinating what you guys are doing. So let's start by just talking about, well, first of all, who are you and how'd you get involved in homebrewing?
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you for having us on. And I know as we talked, your excitement kind of grew. So it's very exciting to kind of talk directly to kind of all the homebrewers and the New York City area, and probably across the country as well. But so what CHAOS is we're a group of homebrewers, and we also have some just, you know, craft beer enthusiasts who we tend to be very DIY focused. And in 2011, kind of a couple of our members came together, and they decided to craft their own homebrew club, but the difference with our club is the idea of having a shared space. As you know, Chicago apartments are probably a little bit larger than New York City apartments, but it's still very difficult to homebrew on such a small setup in an apartment. So kind of the idea was, you know, let's find a space, let's keep all of our equipment in one location, and that idea kind of grew like wildfire, and in 7 months, you know, we went from a small basement under an art studio to renting out a, you know, 900 square foot space, and now we're on a 1,300 square foot space, and yeah, the excitement's there, and yeah, so we're a little different in the sense that there's a communal space.
Right. Now, one of the first
so
steps.
All the
go ahead.
I don't know. I was going to say, so all the equipment's there for our members.
Mm-hmm.
We believe, you know, we're the first and really the only communal brew space model. This isn't anything new. I know my our treasurer likes to call it a disruptive technology, but I really think we're just kind of what brewers did in the past. You know, it was a very community focused, and so all the equipment we have is owned by the Homebrew Club. We have four different brew spaces that have all the equipment, and our membership levels are a little different. We have an apprentice where they're kind of the beginners. They don't know if they like to brew beer. Then we have the brewer level members, and they're allowed 24/7 access into our space. And then we have the alchemists, and the alchemists are kind of the people that have gone above and beyond and really kind of keep our club kind of the core foundation. They're always giving up weekends and weeknights. And what allows alchemists is some free storage in the brew house, but we also have a Blickman Tower of Power system, which makes brew days just a little quicker, and they have access to that equipment.
So you guys have a couple other levels of membership as well. You have, I think, which is really cool, you have a trial membership, so people can try you out before they fully commit, right?
Correct, yeah. A big thing we do that kind of KS is known for in Chicago is we do quarterly member appreciation parties. And so the way the laws are in Illinois, we're a private member organization. And so how you can come to our parties is essentially by becoming a member. So that trial membership gives you 60 days. And, you know, really that's how we get people to kind of get their first brews. A lot of people's first brews ever kind of happen after our parties. But so that trial membership really allows them to come experience. You know, we do a Cerveza de Mayo party. Then we do a summer brewbecue, a harvest fest, which tends to be half cider, half beer. And then we do a stout and chili night in the winter. So those are kind of our big premier events that we put on throughout the year. And trial members are definitely allowed in.
Cool. And then you also have a friend membership, and that's maybe for people that don't necessarily brew but are interested in supporting and participating?
Yeah, absolutely. So a friend or kind of our friends and family that love and probably get to enjoy the fruits of our labor and to keep us going and kind of support our club, they become friend-level members.
So let me ask, how many people do you have overall in, like, all kind of all levels of membership right now? Approximately, ballpark figure.
It's probably around 130 right now.
Okay, and then how many alchemists do you guys have?
Ooh, alchemists is probably 15.
Okay, cool. So let's talk a little bit about more. I want to hear actually a little bit more about these big events, because I think that's something that as a past president of the New York City Homebrewers Guild, we have kind of two yearly events, I would say. We have our big summer picnic, mm-hmm. and then also a holiday party. And
we're looking to do the third more frequently, too, now.
Which is our
anniversary party.
Yeah.
We're trying to turn that into an annual event, so that would be
Yeah, and I think these kind of big events that involve more than just your core homebrewing, you know, members in your case, but also involve, you know, friends and family are very good for not only drawing attention to the homebrewing community and your club, but also inspiring more people to homebrew. So I'd like to hear more about the yearly events that you mentioned, the barbecue and your stout and chili event. What were the other two?
One's Cerveza de Mayo, so all those beers tend to focus on kind of lighter. There tends to be a lot of peppers involved in a lot of the beers. So our party is kind of, you know, we come from a group of people that are just kind of, like I said, they're DIY in their life, tend to trend a little younger. And so, you know, party is always kind of a thing, but, you know, I think craft brewers do it responsibly.
Right.
But I think our members just wanted a way to showcase the beers. Our group tends to, we do have a lot of BJCP judges amongst us, but we tend to really like to connect and have that relationship with the people actually drinking our beer. And that's really showcased, you know, during our parties. And so our parties feature between 30 and 40 kegs. All different. You know, there is a theme, but not everyone sticks to it. If you were to go to our, you know, Facebook page or our website, which is chaosbrewclub.net, you'd pull up, you know, menus from our past selections, and you know, it's not traditional BJCP styles. We definitely like to push the envelope. We have a party coming up, and I'm doing, you know, a saison, which I kind of did a split batch, and half's going to be coffee, half's going to be watermelon, which is obviously some flavors you don't necessarily associate with saison. But yeah, we definitely like to push the envelope and kind of learn from each other and see what people have done.
Very cool. And how do you? So you guys have? I noticed on your calendar you had a deadline for this the brewbecue that's coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. We just like to let people know. So from our last party, our Cerveza de Mayo party, which was May 4th, you know, we had AHA, which I think most of the beers that we served at the National Homebrewers Conference weren't on tap at our Cerveza de Mayo party. We just got done with a fundraiser for it's called Youth Guidance. It helps after-school programs and finding students' jobs in the city of Chicago. We donated a bunch of beer, made beer just for that. A lot of those beers weren't at our previous two parties. And then we also did another event. It was kind of a pop-up homebrew event with different homebrew clubs and different homebrew groups in Chicago. And that money went to the Wounded Warrior Project. And so we always kind of like to keep people aware of kind of a month out, mm-hmm. so people know when they should be brewing by.
Right. And now you guys also do group brews at this space. So tell me a little bit more about your group brews.
Yeah, so our group brews, obviously, so I should also mention before, Chaos Brew Club is also a 501c3. We're a registered nonprofit for education, and that's a constant thread with all of our events. Our last event had a hop school, which featured 9 different beers. They were all single hopped from the bittering to the dry hopping edition. So people can really walk away and understand what a Motueka hop did rather than a Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
So this next party, we're featuring a malt school where we're doing, I think right now we have 9 smash beers where it's single malt, single hop. But the hop's staying the same, and this time we're showcasing the malt. And so part of our education component is also group brews. So every second Tuesday, we get together in our club space, and we brew a different beer. It's ranged from a northern English brown to a Zombie Dust clone. I don't know how familiar everyone is with Zombie Dust.
We are not lucky enough, but we have listeners all over the country and actually internationally, so some of them might be.
Yeah, it seems that there's certain clone brews that are a rite of passage for homebrewers. And in Chicago, Zombie Dust trends pretty high. I'm sure West Coast, it's all plenty older. I don't know what it is for the New York folks.
That's a good question.
I
think it's ever evolving. We actually have, in New York City particularly, we have a lot of new breweries that have opened up in the last year that are brewing some absolutely killer IPAs and other beers. So I think we're kind of having an evolving, maybe it's Hill Farmstead. I think Hill Farmstead maybe is a good a good clone
beer.
Yeah,
the water quality in New York as well?
We do have good water quality, yeah.
We have the best tasting water in the country.
Yeah, it's actually, the profile is very close to Pilsen, the Pilsen area of Germany. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
is there a homebrew Pilsen Fest?
No, because you know what? I don't think very many people can lager here.
Talk about who's got room for an extra refrigerator to lager.
That's true. So you're going back to your malt. Oh, sorry. Going back to your brew days. So your group brews are a way. Probably, I can imagine those are a way for people that are maybe first learn, maybe haven't brewed or are first learning to brew to kind of participate in a home brew.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are open to the public.
You okay.
Know, we invite members to see if they like it. You know, I've had a lot of friends that, you know, they're very excited that I've took up home brewing and I'm kind of mastering it. And then they, you know, they're with me on a homebrew session and they're very disappointed how boring the brew day actually is. So, yeah, this is a way to kind of get people's foot in the door. All of our group brews are all grain. Mm-hmm. And so it also helps kind of some of our members that are transitioning from extract to all grain to kind of really be part of the process. And we just found that a lot of people also just like kind of being part of the, you know, kind of the social aspect. I think that's part of our model as well, which is kind of unspoken, is that that social aspect is a main driver. And we're always kind of doing things together as a club, even if it doesn't associate with brewing, because I think that's kind of the secret engine that really keeps us going.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's my experience. I go to a couple clubs in New York City, and the same, yeah, exactly the same is true. So we're going to take a very short break. After, we'll be back with more about chaos. We're going to talk a little bit about 501c3 and all kinds of good stuff with Ken Getty.
Hi, I'm Julia Tertian, host of Radio Cherry Bomb. This summer, Heritage Radio Network is turning 5. Since our launch in 2009, we've continued to bring you food and culture content like nobody else. And we need your help. HeritageRadioNetwork.org is a passionate, grassroots, action-oriented nonprofit organization. That means we depend on the support from listeners like you to help keep us alive. If you love what you hear on Heritage Radio Network, visit our website and become a member today. Thanks for listening, and thank you for your support.
Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
Hey, we're Cloud Control, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
I thought he was going to come back. Welcome back to Femen About It on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. So we are here with Ken Getty of Chaos Brew Club in Chicago. And we were just talking about group brews. I was going to add that another thing, and I would like to hear how you feel about this, is that another thing that's great about group brews is that it gives non-brewers more of a respect for the beverage. When they see how much work and effort and creativity and science goes into, you know, something to make this beer, I think it gives the people a lot more respect for it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because, you know, before joining Chaos, I was part of many brew days that it was someone's uncle or grandma bought them a brew kit. And of course, it was all extract. And you kind of get a chip on your shoulder. You're like, oh, wow, this is really easy. I just got to, you know, answer my alarm and dump in whatever I'm doing. But, you know, that jump to all grain, there's some nuances. You're worried about water quality, and that passion starts to come through, and that dedication. And so, you know, absolutely, I agree with you.
So I would like to hear more about the hop event that you did, and then this upcoming malt education. Just a little bit more about the setup. You guys sell tickets to it? Who comes? That kind of thing. Because I think this is something that a lot of homebrew clubs, like in New York City Homebrew Guild, we've done some similar events just in a club regular meeting situation. But it would be really interesting to talk about, you know, how you guys do it, and I think a lot of other clubs could learn from that.
Yeah, absolutely. So our brew space, when our second location, it just happened to be next door was a vacant lot that all there was grass. And so it was kind of very natural to say, hey, we have all this space, let's have events. And so that very quickly became kind of the core of what Chaos is. And, you know, we make no bones about it that the only way we've been interrupted from our parties is when something devastating has happened. And one was being shut down by the city, and because they thought we were an actual business.
Right.
The city of Chicago really didn't understand what we were trying to do. And second, we almost failed to do our Harvest Fest this past year because our building sold from out from underneath us, and we were given 30 days to vacate the property as they were tearing it down and turning it into condos. So kind of our parties really are the DNA, and we wanted our parties to really be more educational because that really is our focus. And so the hop school, you know, we have members that are very eager to learn, and when you have so many different people brewing, kind of it was a natural extension of, hey, let's all do the same beer and just do one thing different so we can all learn from it. And also, you know, you saw a lot of people kind of mixing different hop varieties. So, you know, we had Mosaic, we had Galaxy, we had Citra, then we had just different popular ones. And it was great to kind of see people drink different beers. And you learned, you know, very quickly, you could tell them, like, oh, you don't like this type of hop. You know, like, you know, go for more of this type of variety. And with the malt school, our hop, you know, hop school and kind of going to NHC and talking to a lot of clubs, that's something that people did was the hop thing. But mm-hmm. One thing we noticed was kind of the smash malt thing wasn't something that other clubs were doing, and we thought we'd be able to learn a lot from. So how we do it is really just, you know, we start teasing people. We hammer out a date with our event, and we start promoting it on Facebook, inviting our friends, connecting with other, you know, we have a very connected homebrew club scene in Chicago where, you know, we talk with a lot of the clubs back and forth, and we kind of count on each other, help each other out when we need it, invite them. Some of our parties, I don't know if New York has it as much, but there are a lot of groups, either single people or up to three, where they come together and kind of think they want to open a brewery, so they give themselves a name and they start brewing.
Oh yeah, we got them.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we've invited you know, those groups to our parties to kind of showcase their beers. But yeah, it's just something, it's kind of word of mouth, friends and family, and yeah, the support has been what's kept us alive, because kind of our monthly dues, you know, the highest dues that people pay at Chaos are $26 a month, which I tell people, if I were to try to brew at home and if I was fermenting and just trying to, you know, I don't live with a basement, so just keeping my air conditioner on wouldn't pay for my dues a month, and I'm sure it's the same way in Chicago. So, you know, one of the benefits is we have a temperature-controlled fermentation room, we have a lager chamber, we have a refrigerator to crash your beer, and then we also have a hot box to kind of do saisons and Brett beers that need a little higher temperature.
Very cool.
But it's those parties that really help us pay for the next installment, next brewhouse improvement, kind of equipment upgrade.
Those parties are ticketed? Or with a separate...
You have to be a member.
Okay.
So they're ticketed in the sense that you have to join our club.
Okay.
And that's where the trial membership helps facilitate that. Or a friend. A friend of the club can also.
Cool.
So, this is Harley. I had a question about the organization. Sure. The New York City Guild, we're just actually finally becoming legit this year. And we were looking into, you know, nonprofit, different kinds of nonprofit organizations. And I was just kind of curious how you settled on 501c3 versus, say, like 501c7, because that's like the social club.
Well, the 501c3, I know, really was going to help facilitate a lot of the sponsorships that we were seeking to kind of keep our growth. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we get to, you know, former Mayor Bloomberg before you do. If you go the 501c3 route, you get all of his money. But yeah, that talking to different groups, that from the corporate side, the corporate donation side, we saw that that was the easiest thing for us on their side when they were processing their donations.
Okay, right. So you guys partner with local breweries as well as other local businesses?
We do. I mean, we're, you know, in terms of the 501c3 status, you know, we're strictly education. So that's why that mm-hmm. kind of runs through our DNA, our group brews, our schools. We also do workshops. But, yeah, we do work with other donors. You know, we take donations from breweries, corporations, and individuals.
Cool. So I got to ask, you guys have an absolutely fantastic website. Your calendar is killer. It's beautiful. How do you guys handle the tech side of things? I think that's always sometimes a challenge that homebrew clubs have, is kind of keeping all of these things up.
Yeah, so I'm blessed. I mean, I'm the president. I came on, you know, a little over a year ago, but I was very dedicated. But we have a group of people that have different talents. I have to single them out. I have to say thank you to Lucas Morris. He is our webmaster, and you know, for his job, he flies all over the country. But it'll be like 4 a.m, and he's like posting to our forums. Oh, I fixed this bug. It's really, he has kept that website together and keeps adding functionality. He's recently recruited a friend, Brock, who's kind of come on and really helped a lot of tweaks. But, you know, Lucas deserves all the credit for that beautiful website. Yeah, we have an online reservation system where, you know, if I wanted to brew tomorrow night, I can go on there and see who's utilizing the brew house, see what brew stations they're doing. You know, they're utilizing, if it's on the weekends, I can see what time they think they're going to be done. I can contact them and see, you know, let them know I'm going to follow up behind them so they can kind of very keep an efficient brew day. But, yeah, Lucas deserves all the credit for that.
And then I also noticed that you guys on your calendar, not only do you have your parties and your, you know, group brews, your meetings, you also have different gatherings as well as events. So you post local kind of craft beer events that are going on around town, as well as kind of these loose gatherings. So to an outsider like me, it seems like somebody comes up and wants to, you know, hang out with other homebrewers. Is that kind of how some of these events work?
Yeah, absolutely. We do hoppy hours, and that's kind of the biggest one. We also do BYOB dinners. We try to focus on, you know, find a restaurant where we can bring our own. And then we also have a wing night. And so what we find is a lot of people that are just kind of new to it, are just kind of still intimidated by the act of homebrewing. They kind of come out in a social setting where they see a bunch of us and kind of make that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then they feel more comfortable coming in. Because there's just some people that just don't feel right about just walking right in and introducing themselves. And so we find that that kind of helps facilitate a lot of our transactions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a lot of homebrew clubs' challenge, is that either you have a meeting that, you know, we have monthly meetings. You might have a monthly meeting where everyone knows each other. So a newcomer feels a little bit intimidated or they can't make that night. So I think it's absolutely fantastic to have those other kind of nights, and it's great that you guys are doing that.
Yeah, and we also do open houses where we just say, hey, stop by. You know, people are going to be brewing, and typically Saturdays are our busiest days, and so we'll do every second Saturday is typically our open houses. And we just say, hey, stop by from 10 to 3. 4 people are going to be brewing. You can check out, get a tour, you know, kind of also look over our shoulders as we, you know, make some beer.
Very cool. And then what else, you guys? What do you see for the future of Chaos? Any fun stuff coming up that we haven't discussed already?
Well, recently, I know the biggest debate we haven't talked about is Chicago pizza versus New York pizza.
What debate?
Yeah, what debate?
Mind you, we are sitting in a place known for its pizza.
That is true.
Yeah, so we were very lucky. We were approached by kind of one of the Chicago beer pioneers, you know, East, which is kind of like a scion and definitely a landmark in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Their grandson, you know, he's always taken to craft beer, and he wanted to incorporate, you know, Chicago craft beer into their restaurants. And so they had recently taken over a location that was originally Michael Jordan's restaurant, and he's putting in a microbrewery / brew pub. And he wanted, you know, Chicago to be everything about the restaurant, from comedy to jazz to blues, but he also wanted home brewing. And so he came to us, and, you know, we formed a partnership where one of our members will always have a beer on tap at his restaurant.
So very cool.
A huge big deal for us, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. We have Chris, who's normally my co-host, who you met at NHC, yep. Is the brewmaster or brewer of a small gastrobrewery, brew pub in South Manhattan. And he's been doing this. He's had actually a homebrew collaboration going for a while. So kind of a similar project. But yeah, it's always great to have to partner with other places. We have a lot of like this, the event that I announced when we first came on is matching commercial breweries. And I know that Finback, one of our newest breweries, is actually Finback, is doing collaborations with home brewers as well. So that's kind of a cool thing that I think we're going to see more of across the country. So let me ask, before we finish the show, what do you see as like trends in Chicago home brewing right now?
Trends is homebrewers want to open a brewery.
Yeah, same here. Absolutely. Do you see any styles that are...
So I think Berliners and Goza.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah. I mean, it's a perfect season for them, but I think a lot of people are definitely venturing into that sour side.
Yes. Yeah.
Sours
and it's nice because you can drink it all day. I mean, you know, there's some where you can drink maybe 3 ounces and you got to down 3 tums to continue on. But yeah, Goza's and Berliners, I think, are the perfect summer beers.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Definitely. So, check out the Chaos's website at chaosbrewclub.net. It's an absolutely amazing website, and I think you guys, I kind of wish a little bit, one part of me wishes I lived in Chicago, even though I'm madly in love with New York City. Anyway, thanks so much, Ken, for being on.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And have a good night.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be back next week, 7 p.m. on Femen About It.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. So you got yourself-